Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, last week we started a new Sunday school year. Wednesday we started a new Christ Academy, better known as confirmation class, and Christian education goes on around the year. But the thing of it is, I don't know if we really want to call it Rally Sunday. Perhaps we should call it Christian Education Sunday. Because Christian education deals not only with the children, but with each and every one of us that we learn God's Word. And so therefore today, we're going to have an installation of our Sunday school teachers that are here this morning to install them in the office to recognize their service to the Lord as they prepare to teach. But what are they given to teach? That's the question. And I think that's what the readings from today address in our readings. What exactly it is that we are to teach. Our Old Testament lesson this morning is from the book of Ezekiel, and it's often read at ordination and installation services of pastor, where it rightly should be read, because as pastors we are held accountable to the people of God to proclaim the word of truth in its truth and purity. Now at the same time, it not only involves pastors, I believe it involves the church at large, as he has called all of us to be faithful, not only in reading his word, but also in growing in our faith and knowledge of it. Now with that said, the verses leading up to the day of Ezekiel chapter 33, the six verses that preceded, God was really given an illustration of a massive city with walls and watchtowers, and he calls for his servant Ezekiel to be his watchman, to proclaim the word of truth. Now, if you realize in the Old Testament, they didn't have their cities were walled in, massive walls. And there'd be watchtowers where men were placed as sentries to look out over the surrounding prairie and the plains to see if it's any impending danger coming. And if danger would come, they would cry out with the trumpet blast, and the gates would be shut, the army would be rallied, and the wall would be defended from any intrusion. It's a really great plan. But the problem is what if the watchman is sleeping on the job? What if he decides not to show up for work that day and the city is overrun, the gates are not shut in time? Many people in the city would be killed and many others would be taken away into captivity. I wonder this morning what you would do with an alarm clock that didn't ring in the morning to get you off to work. Now I know some of you would probably say, that's the alarm clock I want. But the reality is that alarm clocks that don't ring aren't worth anything, right? You throw them away because they're worthless. Now, a sentry is one who has been established for a long time. If you think of the first place in Scripture where a guard was posted, you're going to go all the way back to the book of Genesis, where after Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden, the angels were placed with their flaming swords to keep them from coming back in. The first sentries ever recorded. Now armies today, if you serve in the military, armies always have people on watch, even as the rest of the guys or gals sleep. There's always someone watching. In boot camp, I understand that's called the fire watch. You get to stay up all night. Homeland Security, they do their own sentry work by wanding you or patting you down and making you take your shoes off and run them through the x-ray machine in order to keep us safe from terrorists. The FDIC, they protect your money to make sure banks don't steal it from you. Now, if you have ADT, you have that security around your home, even when you're not there, that can warn you and let you know when there's an intruder in your house. Computers have spyware to keep out hackers. Crest toothpaste has that whitening power that if you use it this morning, it's fighting bad breath right now, and it's making your teeth white and shiny, protecting you. Who among you doesn't have a gazillion passwords? Who among you doesn't have PIN numbers, entry codes? And the older you get, the more you want to just use one, and they tell you don't use one, have a lot of them. And so how do you keep them all straight? I do not know. But the reason we do it is because we want to be protected. And that's where sentries come in, watchmen, who stand and give that trumpet blast to warn. Now, our nation over the last few weeks has been witnessing a lot of hurricanes coming through, and Harvey hit the coast of Texas and Louisiana, and a death toll count, last I heard, was that 70 people died in that. This morning, right now, the state of Florida is under a barrage from Hurricane Irma, who is battering it at this very moment. The pictures and the images are disturbing. And there is a reality that the time leading up to the storm, especially in Florida, the governors kept saying, evacuate, get back, get back. Even our own president says, get out of harm's way. And many of the residents of Florida have heeded that cry and have left. It's kind of like the governors, like Ezekiel, to warn the people that there's danger coming, be on the lookout. Now in Texas, many did leave, but many more stayed. And many of those lost their lives. But think about how it would have been different if the governor wouldn't have said anything. If no warnings had been given, nothing had happened, they saw it coming and they were just silent. What an outcry that our nation would have, holding men and women accountable for not protecting people under their charge. In the verses leading up to this morning's Old Testament lesson, God states that a watchman that doesn't protect his people, the blood of those that he's supposed to protect will be on his hands. It's his job to proclaim the message, even if nobody at all listens. When you were growing up, did you ever do something stupid? Maybe I was the only one. My parents would always say, you've got no one else to blame but yourself. If you don't listen to the cry, you don't have anyone to blame but yourself. So as we read through Ezekiel a moment ago, I reread it now. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you give them warning from me. And if I say to the wicked, a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. As God called Ezekiel to be his prophet, his alarm system, what possible responses could Ezekiel have said? On one hand, he could have said, you know what? No. I'm not going to open my mouth. You can cry out all you want, God. I'm simply not going to say a word. Because if I tell the people what you're asking me to tell them, I'm not going to be popular. I'm going to get ridiculed. I'm going to be criticized. And even worse, I may be put to death. So, no thank you. Option number two. I'll listen to what you have to say, and I'll dumb it down a little bit so nobody's offended. So I'll take your word, I'll massage it around a little bit, and then I'll give them what I think they need. Option number three, speak the word. Don't add to it, don't take from it. Simply give them what God has given you to give to them and warn them no more and no less. So in the first case, Ezekiel decides that I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. He doesn't want to warn anybody, he just wants to be silent and not wanting to offend or upset anybody. Unfortunately, we see that in the world today. Look around you in the world today. Look at the moral filth that's a part of our society that's just deemed as normal, an alternative lifestyle or whatever it may be. I'm not going to single anyone out in particular, but the reality is it's all around us, and many within the church simply remain quiet. I'm not going to say anything. I don't want to be known as that Jesus freak guy. I don't want to say anything that's going to offend anyone else. And God told the prophet Ezekiel, if you do not speak the words I tell you to speak to them, not only will they die in their sins, but I will hold you accountable. My dear friends in Christ, as a pastor, whenever I read those words, it really makes me tremble. Because first and foremost, they're spoken to me as your pastor. And I got to tell you, I'm a human being and I like to be liked. It's a great thing for people to like you. But I also realize at times, kind of like a parent, you got to tell your kids stuff they don't want to hear. Not because you want to hurt their feelings, you don't love them. It's because you do love them and want to speak the truth to them. But I tell you, if there's any part of Scripture I could kind of edit out to make my job a lot easier, this would be it, because there would be no responsibility. But the reality is, God has told his prophet Ezekiel, when I tell you to warn them, warn them. Don't remain silent. Another option for pastors, and there's pastors of all different stripes within the Christian church today. If there's a pastor you want to kind of pump you up and tell you how great you are, you can find one. They're going to tell you the top 10 ways to be a better Christian. They're going to say you can be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Just do this, that, and the other thing. But there's also pastors out there that'll tell you, you know what? Jesus started the process of this whole forgiveness thing, but it's really your job to do the works to kind of finish it off, to put the capstone on the whole thing. And so therefore, my point of it is this. If you hear pastors that aren't pointing to Christ and the forgiveness of sins that comes through him, run. Run the other way. Do not listen. Well, in the last instance, when you proclaim the word of truth and not change it, there is ridicule. At times people say, well, who do you think you are? Do you think you're God? Who are you to judge me? There's been other pastors that have told me this is the way it is, and you're telling me that they're wrong? When you proclaim the word of truth, at times it's really difficult. You know, it's the same today as you're listening to the gospel lesson. Jesus said the words, whoever receives one such child receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a giant millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. God takes sin seriously. He takes this proclamation of the word seriously. And the little ones doesn't just mean children. It means all of his people. If we as God's people remain silent in the face of sin, God holds us accountable. If we as God's people decide we're going to manipulate and massage God's word until it gets to a place where it's more palatable for everybody else and we can fill the pews with people who are happy, happy, and wise, God takes our sin seriously. So how do these readings speak to you and me today? As you know, you can find a preacher that'll tell you whatever you want to hear. But ultimately the question is, does that preacher proclaim the fact that you are a sinner? Is your pastor faithful to stand in front of you and look you in the face and says, you know what? You fall short of God's glory. When you say those words, I, a poor, miserable sinner, you are not lip-syncing. You truly are a poor, miserable sinner. But as a pastor, you don't do it just to beat people to death. You do it for the purpose of people understanding that they're lost. You ever realize that someone, you go on a hiking trip and they get out with a backpack on, you're tooling around, the sun starts to set and you look around and you figure out, I have no idea where I'm at. 2 seconds earlier, I was happy. Now I'm terrified. The pastor's job is to get you to the point where you say, yes, Lord, I am a sinner. I need a Savior. And your pastor, the message that God calls them to bring is to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified for the forgiveness of all your sins, which washes away all the things you thought, said, and done. The things you should have did that you didn't do. All of it forgiven. To know that you are part of the family of God. To announce that warning to you. So that you'll receive that forgiveness with great joy. For our congregation, it also means that you have to be careful what you believe, teach, and confess. You know, as I see the church and as it continues to kind of morph and develop, I begin to see Christian congregations are less and less biblically literate. You know how easy that makes it to lead the people of God down the wrong path when God's own people don't hold their pastors accountable to proclaim the truth? See, it's our responsibility as brothers and sisters in Christ to be here in worship, to receive the body and blood of Christ, to hear the word proclaimed, and to hold the pastor accountable to proclaim that word in its truth and purity, even when it hurts. But at the same time, it means that we need to bring our children to Sunday school, to find yourself in Bible class. And I don't know if you, we do have a Sunday school for adults too, and we're studying the book of Romans. But you see, the reality is that it means that we need to be in God's Word. to spend time. It means that you need to pound down my door for more Bible studies. We want to learn more, Pastor. And the brother and sister in Christ isn't here. We need to call them and invite them back and encourage them in their faith walk with Christ. Oh, sure, it's not always popular. But my dear friends in Christ, it is such a godly thing to do to be a watchman or a watchwoman in the kingdom of God. For our Sunday school teachers, you are watchmen and women. You have been asked to teach little ones in this congregation about Jesus and about what He has done for them. This means as a teacher that you need to take the task seriously. You got to take plenty of time to prepare. And I know at times, even for me as pastor, it's like you kind of ram it all together at the last minute and just, Lord, have mercy. But to take the time to understand the lesson, if you have a question, ask. Encourage. You have a vital role in teaching our little ones about Jesus and what He's done. You are a watchman. While our congregation doesn't have big walls around us or watchtowers, we certainly are the mighty fortress. And we are called to be a light in the midst of a dark world, and so therefore we are to cry out the warning to our neighbors around us, to be a witness for Christ and all that He has done, and the joy to know that we who were once lost are found, that we have forgiveness of sins, and it's something that we want desperately for you as well. My prayer this morning is that you and I would be given great boldness to be God's watchmen, to be faithful. Not only here among our family and friends, but within our community, on the job, wherever God places us to be a servant. In the name of Jesus, amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.